If you would, open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 24. Just by way of reminder, if we could please be mindful about the seniors parking out there. If we could just try to keep in mind as much as possible both services. For those that may need those parking spots to try to get into the church easier. So just by way of reminder. If you look at me in Matthew chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple buildings. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." They began to become enamored with the building, how wonderful it was. And we know, according to history, it was around 70 AD that the Romans tore down that temple. He told them this was going to happen. It's in verse 3, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" What's it going to be like, Christ? So, 4, he tells them, be careful you don't get misled. That's very important. Stay true. Many are going to come in his name. You're going to mislead many. We know that according to 2 Timothy, they're going to accumulate teachers for the tickling of their own ears. He's telling us these things are going to happen. Verse 6, you're going to hear of wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes taking place. That's verse 7. We're hearing about wars, rumors of wars. I think that's probably kind of been forever, I would think, right? Verse 7, nation's going to rise against nation. We see that. Famines, earthquakes. I mean, we're hearing of earthquakes in places now that I thought that we never would have heard of. We're hearing about that in the news. All these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then it seems as if he turns to the disciples. They're going to deliver you to tribulation. They'll kill you, be hated by all nations because of my name. We know, according to John 15:16, as a Christian, the world's going to hate you. But if you were of the world, they would love you. But because you stand for Christ, there's going to be a hate. And we understand that. The world's not going to be receptive of believers. We come in, verse 10, with that tribulation that comes in, at that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. So you realize the sovereignty of God in bringing in the tribulation, it begins to reveal those who are truly His. When it starts getting rough, when it starts getting hard, the one that remains, well, that's proof positive. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of faithfulness is in that one. The Spirit of sacrifice is in that one. But when it gets hard, will they leave? It begins to reveal a seed that fell beside the weeds or grew up and got choked out. We come into verse 11. Many false prophets will arise, mislead many. We just talked about that as well. 2 Timothy 4, teachers accumulating, tickling the ears of the different ones. But this one's a big one, 12 and 13. Shelley and I were talking just the other day, and I said, you can just see the love of many growing cold. And that, he begins to warn them, don't let this happen to you. You're going to see it. I've often thought to myself, I said, it's the wisdom of God and the power of God that he would so begin to bring in his sovereign tribulation. He would bring these things in. And then he'll say in Matthew, the sheep will be on the right and the goats will be on the left. And I've often thought to myself, it's as if he's beginning to bring us all together. So when that time comes that he calls us home, the true Christian will be so clear, there'll be no mistaking. And you could, I just feel like it's the sovereign wisdom of God to bring this about and his power. But it says, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. That lawlessness would probably be a disdain for order, a disdain for righteousness, a hostility towards God, and everything that he stands for. And we're seeing this more now than ever before. We're seeing it in all stages of our life and even within our government. And it would be easy to see those things and to allow ourselves, as it goes on to say, lawlessness has increased, but most people's love will grow cold. That is to say, they'll wane from love. I know in our neighborhood, periodically, I remember growing up and you knew all your neighbors. And I remember being in Ohio for a short time. And my grandfather everybody waved at everybody. You'd be going down the road and it was, and you know, now I go to wave at my neighbors and I'm like, and they look at me like, who do you think you are waving at me? You trying me? And I'm going, whoa, slow down, Skipper. But it's like you're trying to show kindness, and that's what the psalmist would say, Christ would say, I show kindness, they return evil. But the love of many has grown cold. The trust of mankind has waned, and this is why it's all the more important that we don't, because there are those out there that are still gods, that still need to be rescued. This love of God's light cannot wane. We must stay in the love of God. Regardless of the way the world's going to treat us, we can't change. And so it's a good reminder for us, but the one who endures till the end will be saved. We're finishers, and Christ has called us to be finishers. Let's finish this work in the sense of, God, you help us do it. You get us there, but our hearts want to be lined up with it. We can see all the carnage and all the wickedness that's everywhere. Lord, you fill our hearts with your love. You got all that. You're going to take care of all that judgment and justice, and that's your department. Lord, you fill me to keep loving my brothers and sisters, to keep building, to keep encouraging, and to keep looking for the lost. You just keep me there, Lord. And what we have found is when we stay there, the joy and the peace begins to overflow. Doesn't mean there's not difficulties. You know, we went through some not too long ago. But even through all that hardship and affliction, God was still doing a good work in our lives, Michelle's lives, and Daniel's lives, and our family's lives, and the church's life. Lord, you keep us looking for the lost. You keep us serving. You keep us walking in love and being a light. And it goes on to say, verse 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. We're going to keep preaching this gospel. Lord, you fill our hearts to do that. We're going to keep looking for the lost. We're going to keep building up each other, washing each other's feet, encouraging one another. And let's just see how God wants to use us. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask today, you would just fill our hearts, Lord, with your love. That you would keep us in the love of God, Lord, with your sovereign hand. Our hearts want to align with that. So you take our eyes off of that. We see all the wickedness. We see it. And Lord, all that wickedness at times just makes us want to plain get angry. Makes us want to plain just, it can stifle us, Lord. But Lord, we're just going to ask today that you just realign our hearts. You realign our minds. You keep us in your love, that we keep ministering. We keep loving. We give consideration for one another. When one of us falls, we pick each other up. Lord, we pray for one another. We understand we're all in different walks and different seasons, Lord. So help us to be patient with one another, as you would call us to do in Ephesians, and be diligent to unify in the spirit of your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.